You're listening to Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Since his election 2 years ago this week, Pope Francis has gotten global attention both for the style of his public presence and for the substance of the changes he's called for in the Catholic Church.
Among Catholics, he's brought hope and fear over possible changes. But in a centuries-old institution, how much difference can one leader make?
Historian Gary Wills tackles that question in his latest book by digging deep into the Church's history for signs of its future. He's a professor emeritus at Northwestern University. His books include What Jesus Meant, Why I Am a Catholic, and his latest, The Future of the Catholic Church with Pope Francis. Gary, thanks for joining us today.
Glad to be here.
So we might look at the Catholic Church as a more or less timeless institution, very resistant to change, designed to resist change in some ways. But you're making the opposite case here, that change is a central part of the Church. How so?
Well, of course, it has always belonged to the time it lived through. The interesting thing about it is that it outlived each time it lived through. Chesterton said it was wedded to the time, but it's been a perpetual widow. It always outlives what it seemed to be bound to. It was monarchy. It was a patriarchy. It was anti-Semitic. It was sinful. And yet it keeps recovering itself because it's guided by the Holy Spirit.
But looking at the Church from the view of any given historical moment, it seems like there's always this impression that it is this timeless thing, unchanging thing. Is that, do we have a constant myopia when we're looking at the Church if we don't take that historical perspective?
Well, we Catholics were, in a way, indoctrinated that the Church is timeless. It never changes. We had no way of knowing how false that was if we didn't look at history, but we were discouraged from looking at history. We thought, if we have it now, we always had it. And that's obviously not true. I think, rather, as Gilbert Chesterton did, that the Church has dodged all of its troubles time after time after time, improbably, like Buster Keaton running down a hill chased by boulders. It always seems to be about to be run over, and it always recovers itself.
So before we get any further, I should ask, you raise this question that complicates things. When we talk about the Catholic Church, what exactly is it that we're referring to?
That's a very important thing. Many people say the Church teaches this or that, and if you don't believe and follow that, you're not a Catholic. What is the Church? It's not the rulers of the Church. They weren't there at the beginning. There was never a hierarchy. There were no priests and bishops and all of that at the beginning. That naturally arose as the movement grew. But the Second Vatican Council said the Church is the people of God. John Henry Newman said that the people of God has often been true to the teaching of Jesus when the rulers were not, the hierarchy. The hierarchy is not the Church. The Church is the whole body of believers, which were called at the outset the body of Christ. That was not originally the Eucharist. It was the people, the Church.
A lot of times the hierarchy is presented, I think, as an institution that maintains timeless values. Even if the people, even if the congregation strays from them from time to time, the Church is keeping the candle lit for them to come back to. Is there some validity to that, too?
Well, at times it's been the reverse. The hierarchy has gone astray. John Henry Newman also said that during the Arian controversy, there were long times when the various rulers of the Church went into an Arian heresy, and the body of the faithful kept the original gospel.
Now, looking at the modern day, we'll get into some of the history more in a bit, but right now, do you see Pope Francis as an agent of change at this point in the Church history?
Well, you know, he was almost elected the previous conclave. He came in second to the man who became Benedict XVI. And he was asked then, what name would you take if you became the Pope back then? And he said, John the 24th. That tells you what kind of change agent he meant to be, like John the 23rd. He said he had time to think about that before he was actually elected. And then he chose Francis, Saint Francis, who was not a priest, who was a radical. He was so radical, his own followers had a hard time reconciling the Franciscan movement with what he had originally proposed. So this pope has big changes in mind, but he also knows, as John the 23rd did, that you can't do that from the top as a monarch by fiat, that you have to encourage the speaking of the people of God, as John the 23rd did when he called the Second Vatican Council. And this man has thought up conclaves, synods, congregations, committees, to make the people of God speak.
And do you think that, whether looking at this as a monarch or somebody bringing the church together to make change, how much difference can one person, even a pope, even Pope Francis, make in such a large institution with such a long history?
Well, he knows that he can't do it by himself. He has to rely on us. When he had the Synod of Bishops last year, there were people who fought on both sides of issues like gays and divorced people, and he did not lament that. He said, I have to congratulate you on speaking freely, and he published the whole proceedings, unlike the procedures of the previous synods. So he knows, as John the 23rd did, who called the Second Vatican Council and let it have its way, that it's not for him to dictate what changes are needed. It's for us, the people of God, to say what changes we need.
We're talking to historian Gary Wills about his new book, The Future of the Catholic Church, with Pope Francis. He says there's a history of change, a long history of change in the Catholic Church that can give us insights in the prospects for change today and into the future.
And you can join our conversation at 800-642-1234 with your questions and your thoughts. After 2 years with Pope Francis at the head of the Catholic Church, what are your thoughts on what he's done and how he's done it? What would you like to see change, and what would you want to stay the same in the future? Call now at 800-642-1234.
We'll continue the conversation and maybe hear from you. First, we'll take a look at some of the latest headlines with Kristen Durst. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. We continue our conversation with historian Gary Wills on his latest book. It's called The Future of the Catholic Church, with Pope Francis. He says, contrary to popular belief, the Catholic Church can change with the times. It's been done many times before, and that change has been a key to the endurance of Catholicism.
You can join the conversation with your questions and your thoughts at 800-642-1234. Is there something you would like to see change in the Catholic Church under Pope Francis? Is there something you're worried about changing? You want to stay the same? Call 800-642-1234 or email talk@wpr.org. We'll go right to a caller. We've got Carol on the line in Milwaukee. Carol, hi.
Thank you. Yes, I was raised Catholic. I'm no longer a Catholic. I believe actions speak louder than mere words. Yes, there has been a change of tone with Pope Francis, but not a change in policy. The church is still the same good old boys network, a patriarch who hates gay people and won't let women become priests. So they're still like a wolf in sheep's clothing. They speak the words, but there is no change in policy.
Carol, thanks a lot for the call. And Gary Wills, she hits on a flashpoint, I think, especially in Western countries when it comes to the church and the congregation, the church hierarchy and the congregation, I should say. Do you see room for change on issues like women in the church, same-sex marriage, birth control, abortion, for that matter?
Sure. There were times when the church said that Jews were no longer part of a valid religion. There were times when it said that the Pope had the right to rule. There were times when it said that there was only one true religion, and therefore every government should subscribe to that as the official religion. And those all changed. There were times when there were interdicts and indulgences and all kinds of abuses. And the people just stopped believing that because it was not acceptable. That's happened recently on many fronts. For instance, contraception. The popes keep saying, oh, that's a terrible sin. And yet Paul VI's own commission of learned holy people said that's not true, and he tried to hold on to changelessness. And well over 80% of Catholics practice contraception, and they just don't pay attention when the hierarchy says things that are clearly wrong. The church has a life of the Holy Spirit living in holy people that perdures through all of these abuses of authority.
Thanks a lot for the call, Carol. We'll go now to Bob with us in Edgerton. Bob, hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, I got a question. I just see the Catholic Church kicking the can down the road when it comes to reform. Take Father Maciel de Gallardo from Mexico, founder of the Legionaries of Christ, and they operate a school over here on Lake Koshkonong, Oaklawn Academy. And the Legionaries' defense is that they didn't know that their founder and Messiah was a pedophile. Well, how could they not know? The man had three kids and other things. Where's the reform?
Bob, thanks for the call. The pedophilia scandal here in the U.S. and elsewhere in the world, obviously a huge issue for the Vatican, for the current Pope. Gary, your thoughts on that?
Well, that was a huge issue and a tragedy, and it took a long time, but finally Benedict did consign the head of the Legionaries to a life of penance, apart from any role of authority. And there have been abuses all the time, as there are abuses of authority in every organization. We in America still love our country, though we've had a government that has been abusive and wrong in many ways. It's a plutocracy. It has waged wars that are unnecessary. It's done a number of horrible things. But we don't think that because the government was wrong at any point, we have to stop loving it, working for it, changing it. And that's the same with the church. It has to complete its mission to live with Christ, even when the authorities of the church seem to be obstructing that.
Now, with both of these last two issues we've talked about, potentially changing church teachings on social policy, on things like contraception, with openly confronting the pedophilia scandal in under previous popes, was there a fear on these issues that if we change, if we confront our problems openly, we lose our moral authority in the world?
Well, that's true. That's what has kept the authorities sometimes sticking to absurd and obsolete positions. For instance, Pope Pius IX in the 19th century said, if you take away my earthly realms, that he used to rule huge swaths of the globe, the church will fall apart. It didn't. The same thing was said at the Second Vatican Council. If you deny that the Jews are a cursed race, then the church will fall apart, because we taught that for a long time. The church keeps lasting through all of those terrible predictions of what's going to happen to it if it changes. And it continues to live because it changes.
Go back to our callers now at 800-642-1234 as we talk about the past, present, and future of the Catholic Church with Gary Wills. We've got John on the line in Green Bay. John, hi.
Hi, how are you guys?
Good. What do you think, John?
I disagree profoundly with your guest. I believe that it's the mission of the church not to conform to the standards of the culture that it finds itself in, but to hold the moral high ground of God's word. Abortion is a loss of life. It's an intentional killing of an innocent person. You can go through the Old Testament and New Testament and find homosexuality is listed as a sin. That can't change. And people who are living in irregular marriages are not allowed to have the sacrament because their irregular marriages are considered immoral and adulterous. And the church can't change that teaching because that's dictated by Scripture. So the fact that you have a progressive historian promoting social change in the church is really irrelevant. The beauty of the Catholic Church is that it is, have withstood all of the cultural changes. You look at the history of the Protestant churches, and a lot of them have capitulated to culture and have made themselves less relevant.
John, thanks a lot for the call. John is not alone, Gary, in that thinking that the teachings that he's talking about, he says, scripturally based, shouldn't be open to negotiation.
There's nothing in the Old Testament or the New Testament about contraception or abortion, and no pope pretends that there is. They say it's natural law. Well, natural law is what is reached by natural reason over the nature of things. The Pope has no authority over that. John Henry Newman said the Pope comes from Revelation and Scripture. There's nothing in Scripture about those things. And he has no oracular power to say what natural law is when we use our natural reason and debate it. In the time of Paul VI, a gathering of learned, pious, loyal Catholics said, there's nothing in natural law that tells us what contraception is about. And yet Paul VI said, it doesn't matter. I'm Pope. I'll tell you what it is. The Pope does not have that authority. It's not even a religious issue. It's a natural law issue, as he admits.
John, thanks for the call. Carissa is with us next in Milwaukee. Carissa, hi.
Yeah, hi. I was just wondering what your response would be to the idea that, a possible change in the church policy would be more towards the idea that their previous policies were flawed in some way, or that it's really just to gain a broader spectrum of followers.
Interesting, Chris. Thanks. So a new policy, is it admitting past wrongness or an outreach trying to reach out to a broader audience?
Well, you know, authority has always admitted that it was erring. Peter denied Christ 3 times. He was stupid on many occasions. And when Christ said, you are the leader of my followers, the only authority he gave him was this. He said, do you love me? And Peter said, of course I do. He said, do you love me? 3 times he said, do you love me? And if he says that, then he says, then you can lead people. He also said that about the woman taken in sin. And he said, much is forgiven her because she loves much. Love is the real issue, not pretending to be an authority on all issues of intellect and truth.
Thanks a lot for the call, Carissa. You talk about Pope Francis talking about the need to reach outside and beyond the boundaries of the Catholic Church as future policies are evaluated. There's something about, if we lock ourselves up in a room, we're going to go stale and stagnate. Can you talk about that attitude a little bit?
Yes, he's not only open to all Christians, as we all should be. He's very open to Jews and to Muslims. He says, after all, there's only one God, and he has many ways to work in his dealings with humankind. The Holy Spirit is there with the Muslims and the Jews as well as the Christians. Now, that is a teaching that is so important now when there are various people who want to have a holy war against Muslims, as if all Muslims were guilty of 9/11. Gallup did a 35-nation poll, the most extensive that's ever been done, and found that 93% of Muslims condemned the 9/11 attack. That's not part of their religion. It's the part of a crazy, fanatical offshoot. And we've had many crazy, fanatical offshoots of Christianity. This is a pope who is saying we have to admit that God works in many ways, and he says we can learn from the spiritual treasures in the Quran, for instance.
As someone who's been a scholar of Catholicism and as a Catholic yourself, as you watch 2 years in to the term of Pope Francis, what are your hopes for the near and long-term future of the Church?
Well, I know the Church will survive. It has survived everything. And I'm very much impressed by this man because he said when he came in, well, I've been wrong in the past. I was a terrible Jesuit provincial. What pope has done that recently? Peter was somebody who admitted he had been wrong. All of the people who have power thrust upon them tend to go a little crazy unless they realize that they are just men, important men in an organization of love for Jesus, but nonetheless only men. We've had popes who were incestuous, murdering, tyrannizing, torturing. Dante and many Catholic painters put popes in hell in the past.
I'll have to leave it there. That was Gary Wills, historian and author, talking about his new book, The Future of the Catholic Church with Pope Francis.